every time I come up here. Well, good morning.
What a
beautiful Lord's Day. That's fine right there. Thank you. Take good care of me, don't they? It's a pleasure to be with you again this morning. It's going to be a little maybe different service than I had brought in the last few that I've been with you. I just mentioned briefly to one of the members of our church this morning that for the past 6 weeks I've been recovering. And let me say up front, stupid hurts. Anybody agree with me with that? Anybody say amen?
Amen.
All right, we're in a Baptist church, so you can say amen. That's okay. I've been doing woodworking now for, well, started out 8 years old with my uncle down on the coast with a hammer and a saw and some nails and a board. Here, build something. And every summer, he would wait for me to come, and I would build birdhouses and boot jacks and all kinds of things of my era. And I came to love woodworking. And when I went to high school, wasn't sure what I was supposed to do. I wasn't saved. I didn't have any direction. So I took the easiest way out that I thought, and that was to go to industrial arts, woodworking, electricity, metalwork, lathe work. And basically, I turned out to be a hands-on person. I just love to work with my hands. And it just progressed up through. I went to college, would come home and woodworking, and then married and started building houses with another gentleman in Maine. And then for 13 years, we worked together. And then I built a couple of homes myself and in my own home in the same time period. And never had a problem, never had a fear. I felt I was taught well by my uncle, and I was taught well by my instructors in high school, and safety first. Well, 6 weeks ago tomorrow, it all went down. I'm in my shop working, trying to get some furniture built for my son, one of my sons, who has recently opened a store over in Kittery, in a country store, and he wanted Dad to build him some bookcases and things like that, which I was very familiar with doing. And went to my shop in the morning, and I'm fortunate, praise God, I still have my thumb. So I put it all the way through the table saw. And it sure looks a lot better, doesn't it, honey? She was the first to see it. Stupid hurts. I never, never should have happened. I don't know where my mind was. I don't know what I was doing. It's not where it ought to be, but I thank God I still have it after 21 stitches to put it back on. Not too bad. There wasn't much left of this side of it. It still isn't where it ought to be. I can't use it. So if I feel like I look like I'm a little handicapped this morning and turning pages and getting to where I should be, please forgive me. I tried. I have learned to use these. Little did I realize how important those four fingers are. But more important is the thumb. Without it, I've been helpless. My wife has to button my shirt. Can't button my shirt. Tie my tie. I've learned to do a lot left-handed, by the way. I eat mostly now left-handed. It's just I can't hold a fork. I don't have any control there yet. But they tell me it's coming back. As you see, it's quite red. You can look at it if you want. And I'm not going to lose my nail, I don't think. That's amazing.
Wow.
It split the bone. Honestly, it split the bone 1 inch from the tip down to my first joint. And they chose not to operate. And I still have some work to do here in getting it back to like that one. But thank God I still have it. You see, what's that got to do with the church service? A lot. Yes, God is good, brother. Rob, something really impressed upon me that day. Alone in that shop, I ran my thumb through that saw, and I really thought I had cut it off. I didn't even look at it. I just grabbed it with this hand, and I ran for the in the house. My wife was setting her hair in her bathroom, and I said, "Honey, I've just cut my thumb off. I thought I had to cut it off." I didn't notice it till I got to the hospital, Concord Hospital, and they took me right in. But here's the lesson we're going to go with this morning. Very simple title. Blood. Blood. That morning, as I was there at the hospital, as I went home, as I started going back to the orthopedic surgeon, the thought kept coming, the blood, the blood, the blood. Now, I've been in this work for a long time, as you know, preaching, teaching, whatever. But I come to realize the importance of the blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin, my sin, your sin, everyone's sin. It reaches out and admits we're sinners. We need Christ. We need the blood. We're going to look at the blood this morning. Again, a little different. I want you to keep your Bibles handy because we're going to be going through. I can tell you that in my study, since this all happened and I focused on the blood, it's taken on a whole new meaning to me. It really has. Now, I've heard messages around the blood of Christ. I've heard, and the cross, and, you know, his death there on the cross to pay for our sins. And I could quote many, many of the 400 verses in God's Word that speak of the blood. 400. Of that, there are 50 passages in the New Testament. And this is where we're going to kind of be hanging out this morning. I think it's a good place to hang out in the Bible. And we're going to explore some of the verses having to do with the blood of Christ. I trust it will be a reminder to you. I think we take so much for granted. When we hear messages about the blood and about the death of Christ on the cross, we don't really get it. I don't think the way I should anyway. I'm not judging you this morning. I don't know your spiritual temperature. I pray you know Christ today here as your Savior. If not, I trust today will be that day of salvation. It's simply knowing that you're a sinner and admitting it, and confessing it, and realizing that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son there on the cross of Calvary. And there he shed his blood to take care of your sin issue, your sin problem, the sin of the whole world. That's why Jesus went to the cross and died. And so with that in mind this morning, we're going to start out. I'm going to be sharing with you some verses of Scripture. You can either write down the references if you have paper and pencil or pen. I do encourage you to expand this study. It will not be conclusive at all. But for time's sake, I want to just give you of the 50 verses that the Scriptures teach concerning the blood. And I'm looking, there they are, my friend, the tissues. Thank you. There's a song we sing in our hymn books, and I just looked it up. It's 252 in your book, and I'll ask that we close with that this morning. It is, what can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let that word nothing come home. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, I think we get caught up too much in the, and I love the music here. I really do. I love Brother Wetzel. I've never heard like I did the first Sunday here. You were giving a lesson up here, brother, and it stayed with me. And I will say this. It wasn't in my notes, but I will say this. I did share it with both the brothers this morning. As you all have been visiting over in the, is it called Ware? What is it called?
Ware
Bible Baptist Church. Thank you. I don't know the pastor only by name, but I do have a lady in my facility there at the prison that I work with. And she just recently, as of I think around Christmas time, this last Christmas, got back with the Lord. I kind of felt she might have been a Christian. We hadn't developed any kind of a relationship, so I could bring it up to her. But she'd been watching me pretty close and greeting me in the dining hall and saying, hi, you know, how are you, chaplain, and all this and that. To find out that she had a daughter attending that church. Now, this lady lives, I think, out in Warner area, quite the opposite direction from Ware. But she, I guess, I don't know my bearings around here, so if that's wrong, you can correct me afterwards. But anyway, she came to me a short time ago, and she said, I finally decided to get back to church. I said, really, where are you going? And she told me about this Bible Baptist church in Ware. And this past week, I don't get to see her often. She works in a different department than I do in the prison. But we crossed paths in the dining hall again. And I said, how you doing? And I called her by name. And she said, fine. She says, there's a little church that's joining us this month that... in Ware, and my daughter asked me to come there, and of course I started going with it, and I love it. But this week she said, oh man, I love their music. And I said, amen to that. Okay, but let's come back or get on back on track here. I love that song. I love it more today standing here than I ever have through all of my ministry. I'll admit that. I think sometimes we need to read the songs rather than sing them. What you do is, it's totally up to you folks. But I know I've saw many of my people in my church get so caught up in the tempo. And the way that was played, and I would just love to hear your pianist here playing. I love that. We have some wonderful pianists in my church, and I love to hear good music. But don't forget the words. Don't forget the words. They're so much more important than the tempo, really. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So for the next few minutes this morning, I want us to look in our Bibles, and I want us to consider some of the timeless truths. I call them timeless truths about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, turn the book of Acts with me, if you will. You don't need to. If you don't have a Bible, that's fine. Just listen in. I'll not be long this morning, but I just have a burden to share my thoughts this morning on the blood of Christ and the importance of it in the life of an individual. Here we see in Acts chapter 20, and again, I have to do this all left-handed, so it may take me a few minutes, so don't hurry if you need a little extra time to find some of these. But Acts chapter 20, and we're going to be looking at verse 28 this morning, and we're going to see here, I want you to at least get this one word down, and that is that the church was purchased with his, that's Christ, own blood. Acts chapter 20, and in verse 28, almost there, here we go. That's something I've had to develop, is to multitask more since I've become handicapped here, but it's not been easy. All right, verse 28, Acts chapter 20, says here, and when they, let's see, and when they heard the angels crying, well, nope, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter, excuse me. Well, I've got a miss, typed error there. We're going to have to think of that one back first again. It may come back to me. Sorry about that. Let's go to the second one. We are justified by his blood. We are justified by his blood. For that, look at Romans, please. We'll get back there, hopefully, to Acts. It's just I hit a wrong key. That's another thing that I've been hindered with is typing. And I'm not trying to make excuses for my mistakes. But in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, I want you to note the word justified. Justified. And I'm sure you've all heard of what the word justification is. It's just as if we've never sinned. Just remember that. That's a powerful statement. When Jesus shed his blood on that cross, we were justified by his shed blood. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Notice it says here, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. How are we saved? We're saved by the blood. We're saved by the blood. I know you may sing that song here, saved by the blood of the crucified lamb. Saved, saved. I love that song. But it's by the blood. Justified by the blood. Number three, I want us to see the cup of blessing here that we share at the Lord's table. And I know this church observes the Lord's Supper. Many people call it different names, communion, whatever. As long as we understand what it's about. And go with me to First Corinthians, that's the passage that we normally would be in. First Corinthians and chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10. Probably didn't help, but I gotta confess that I switched Bibles this morning because of large print. That's a sign of seniority or senior or whatever you say it nicely. I like this Bible, but I'm not that used to it as far as the underlining things, but I thought I would try it this morning because of having to use my left hand. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, please. We see here another timeless truth from the Word of God concerning the blood of Christ. Notice, if you will, chapter 10, let me get over there. Here we are. And verse 16 says this, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" How often we need to be reminded that our communion with him is only done because of the blood. We can only have that communion with our Lord because of his willingness to go to the cross and shed. I call that the participation, the act of participation. So we've had purchased, justified, participation. Number four, I'm reminded and was reminded of the redemption that we have through Christ. Redeemed. We're only redeemed through his blood. And for that, Ephesians, you can have Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Now, these are just a few of the ones that I have highlighted for the message this morning in depicting the timeless truths. We need to think about this blood. And boy, nothing will bring you up any quicker to think about blood than when you, if you could see our house after I went from the garage to the bathroom. She had her work cut out for her, let me tell you. And I was trying to choke it off. I was trying to hold it. The That's nothing compared to what my Lord suffered for. Think about his crucifixion, the thorns, the spear in his side, beard being plucked out. I think we have it pretty good, folks. I trust you know him today. If not, would you consider him? Ephesians chapter 1 here in verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness. We're going to hit that one again in a minute. Forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Do you understand this morning that the grace that we are experiencing as a believer this morning was at God's expense through Christ? I think somebody used that as an acronym, Brother Rob. God's riches at Christ's expense. Without the blood, what is there? What is there, Christian? Just got a couple more. I thought 7 would be a good place to stop. That's a completion, right? But there's, again, 50 and all. If you'd like to research them, I'm sure you probably have a concordance in your Bible. And I would strongly encourage you to go. And if you don't have them highlighted in your Bible, in fact, I was using one of my wife's Bibles. She has by her side of the divan there, the couch in our home, and tempted to bring that and use it, but it was so full of little sticky notes and sticky papers and sticky things. But these verses were underlined in that Bible, I got to tell you, in red. That's the way she operates. And I appreciate her so much. And so number 5, let's go with 5, 6, and 7 here quickly, and we'll go on. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 3 while we're right here. We'll leave chapter 1, verse 7, and we'll go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. Chapter 3 and verse 18. It says that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints that which is the... No, I'm sorry. I said 3:18. I'm not doing well at all here. That's not the verse I'm looking for. Sorry. Guess I'm not as good a typist as I thought I was. It's not Ephesians even probably, but that's all right. We are brought near to him. We were far away, the Bible tells us. And if you want to find that reference for me, that would be great. I mistyped it, obviously. We are far away, but the blood of Jesus Christ brought us near to him. And I know that is not a verse I've memorized, but it's a verse, obviously, I've categorized here for the reference. Number 7, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. Let's try this one, see how I did. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. The word I want you to get here is, did I say 23? No, I want to go for 13 first. Number 6 is, therefore we have confidence. I'll give you these names again, but we have confidence to enter the most holy place. Why? Because of the blood of Christ. Think about that. We have access to the holiest place. That's the presence of God, my friend. In a personal fashion. Hebrews 9 and verse 23. Did I get it right? It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices than these. We are able to enter into the holiest place with God, the presence of God. I love the fact that my Bible tells me that he never will leave me nor forsake me. Never leave me. No matter where I am, I comfort the inmates daily with this when I'm in there. You know that some of them profess Christ as their Savior, and then they start wallowing in their past, and they start worrying about their future. And I said, look, you have the Lord, right? Are you trusting God to lead you and to guide you and to show you? I have a lady, you might pray for her. Her name is Malaya. Malaya just was released from my facility. She trusted Christ. She was there only a very short time with me. But I can honestly say in 6 years I've been there, I've never seen such a changed life. And I can read people pretty well. I may not be able to get the references right in verses, but I can read people pretty well. And this young lady, Malaya, pray for her. She's somewhere in Manchester in a recovery home. And she wants everything I will throw at her for Bible. She got into the Bible. She was there about 4 weeks with me. And she got into that Bible and begged me not to forget her. And I've reached out to a pastor friend of mine down there in a good church. And he's looking to go to visit her. And I hope that he can get in there. Not sure what their policies are. Some of them are different, but this pastor is well known, and he's had a lot of good experience with reaching out to these halfway houses, I guess they call them, and actually bringing them to church, because at one time he had an addiction recovery program, and they benefited greatly by it, and he was able to go and get them, and as long as you get them back by 9 o'clock. So you pray for Malaya that she will be able to make contact with him. Number seven, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9 while we're here. Let's just skip over 10 verses to verse 23. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 23. I just read that one, didn't I? I'm sorry. I'm bailing a groan here. Number 13 was where we should have been for number 6. Yes, for number 6. Number 13 should be, for if the blood of bulls and goats, Hebrews 9:13, am I right? Yes. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, the confidence that we have of having being born again, if you want to use the biblical term. Today, I stand here with confidence that because of the shed blood of Christ, though a lot of blood was shed, as you know, throughout the Old Testament, many, many verses, but nothing as effective as the blood of Christ. It cleanses us from all sin. So now we've looked at a few verses, fewer than what I anticipated giving you the right reference. But let me go back up and just share with you these thoughts of the church was purchased. We are justified by his blood. We partake of the Lord's Supper. And the cup is the symbol of his blood. It's not his blood. All right? Now, we don't believe in transubstantiation. But it is a symbol symbolizing his shed blood and the bread as his broken body. So there's participation. Then we had redemption. We are redeemed through the blood and have the forgiveness of sin. Then we see we have Christ here as once us being far away. But my Bible says he is near. He is now near to us. That's important. We see the confidence that we have in being able to enter the most holy place by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the forgiveness But without the shedding of blood, the Bible tells us, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, had he not died on the cross, people have said, well, God could have brought his plan to mankind any other way. He didn't have to send his son. Yes, he did. It was all in the plan, folks. God knows what he's doing. He doesn't make any mistakes. Unlike creatures, he doesn't make any mistakes. Now we see not only the why and where that Jesus poured his blood and the reason, but I want us to see just a minute the big question still remains. And the question I have for you this morning is this: how and when do we contact or come in contact, if you will, with the precious blood of Christ? How and when? I want to give you just three simple thoughts as to how and when we have the blood of Christ. We come to the blood of Christ that saves us. First of all, it's by faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith. You know, we use faith a lot, don't we? I went out this morning, I had faith that my car was going to start and I would be on my way to where? I didn't think anything about that, did I? Just went out while I didn't have my key. That was another mistake. Well, I made a lot of mistakes today. I had to borrow my wife's key. Honey, I don't know where my keys are. She graciously loaned me her keys. But I turned that key and that car started up. I knew it would, Rob. No, I hoped it would. But we operate by faith. You operated by faith. You came in and sat down in one of these chairs. I did over there. I didn't think about, well, I wonder if that chair is going to hold me. Looks pretty good. Looks pretty comfortable. They are comfortable. But I said, sure, I'll trust that chair. And yet, when it comes to mankind and simple faith in a living God, and people believe there's a God. They just don't know him. They got all kinds of pictures of God, some good, some bad, you know, the bully upstairs, the big man, all this stuff. They don't understand truth. Nobody's ever told them, possibly, to our shame. We've never shown them the real God, the God of the Bible. And it's so important that we understand that it's by faith that God presented his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, as a sacrifice, an atonement, to pay a debt, a sin debt that we, being of sin nature from day one of Adam, sin when he sinned in the garden, we needed redemption. And God saw that. God wasn't pleased with that. And the only way that God could make it right was that to send his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, to the cross. To pay a debt that you and I could never pay. People today, I don't know how many people I witnessed to in the course of a week, but I'll tell you, they have no concept of the love of God and who God is. And how do we get to him? Simply by reaching out, confessing that I'm a sinner. Now, they don't want to admit that. That's probably one of the biggest. I don't have trouble with that in the jail. These guys know and these girls know that they're sinners. Would you believe that? I didn't understand that until I started talking to them. And then they'll open up and they'll tell you how much bad they've done and how they used to go to Sunday school and they used to hear the Bible and Grammy used to read to the Bible to them and everything. But now things are different. And it usually happens about the teen years. Now, I have all age groups there. I have them as young as 18 and I have them probably as old as maybe late 50s. That's a big gap. But every one of them has a story. And they have a life. And when I start working on them and sharing with them how much God loves them, I can see God working. No, they don't all trust Christ. Many of them have made a profession of faith. Now I have to bring them back to a reassurance of what they did, because nobody ever followed up on them. Shame on the church. You know, just to get somebody saved or see somebody come to Christ and trust Christ and rejoice with them over their eternal life now in heaven someday, that's not the end. Listen, you've heard of throwing the baby out with the bathwater or the baby to the wolves or whatever. That's what we're doing. We're not following up. We're not discipling. That's why Vicki and I had such a burden for biblical counseling. Some of these people have never heard of the Spirit-filled life. All they have seen is its false activities through the charismaticism people and the false claims of having all the apple. And, you know, we don't have all the apple unless we speak in tongues, folks. I don't know if you know that or not, but you didn't get that from me, okay? We got all there is of the Holy Spirit the day you believed. The question is not, do I have every bit of him? But does he have every bit of me? I can only speak for myself. And I got to tell you, I'm still learning. So first of all, we make contact with the precious blood of Christ by faith. If you'd like a reference to that, let's hope I have it right. Romans chapter 3. We're almost done here. Romans chapter 3. And verse 25. Paul writes here to, by the way, he's writing to Christians here. And he says in verse 23, chapter 3, verse 35, that's what I meant to say. He says here, now there's no 33 verses, 23. I'm not doing well at all, I'm sorry. I typed this up late from my notes last night, and either I didn't read them right, I didn't see them right, but they were in my notes, and I'm going to try to correct them before we leave. You give me a minute. Anyway, the verse is to read that we receive it by faith. 25, that's what I meant to hit. Thank you so much. I'm sorry. Romans 3:25. That's what I opened up to, and then I said 35. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Now we sing the song. I said this morning when we started out my message, we sing the song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But it's more than singing it. It's more than singing it. We must believe it. We must believe it. Understand it. Secondly, of the three things I want to share with you here is we come in contact with that precious blood of Christ through our spiritual baptism. When we get saved, we are baptized in Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. He comes into our life and is the one now that we should be listening to. No longer is it Norman Jackson, but it's God. That's the place he has to have in our life. And the Bible makes, and we don't have time to go into all the references, but I can share with you just some thoughts here about Christ shed blood when he died there for our sins. Jesus himself connected baptism with faith, or faith with baptism. Don't take time to turn to it, but go over to Mark 16:16 sometime. Peter, in preaching, also connected repentance and baptism. Now, the one that really gets people is Saul of Tarsus. It's told to arise and wash away your sin. Folks, that's not literal water baptism. That is spiritual baptism. There's a group out there that will tell you that you have to repent and you have to be baptized by water to be saved. Don't you listen to it. Many people today, I believe, as a pastor of over 60 years now, many people today are in heaven that never got baptized with water. I've had them tell me in my pastorate in Maine, I'm scared to death of water. I panic to the thought of going underwater. I just can't do it. I'm looking forward to seeing that gentleman in heaven someday. I try to use the thief of the cross on the cross who said, Lord Jesus, save me. Guess what? He didn't have time to get down off that cross and get baptized. And yet this false teaching is all around. And it's just the devil's ploy of keeping us from truth. You research on your own spiritual baptism by the Holy Spirit of God took care of all of that. We use baptism as an example, as a symbol of Christ's death, burial. Now, I hope you believe, I know you do. I was going to say, I hope you believe in immersion, but I know you do. You're a good Baptist. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised to the likeness of newness in life, newness to life. Simple enough. It's an expression. I use it this way. I've heard it used a lot of ways, but I use it that water baptism, which I believe is obedience, because it says in the Bible, and we see examples of it. Jesus himself was baptized by water, but John the Baptist, right, in the River Jordan. But baptism by water, or in water, the act of baptism, is merely an outward profession of an inward possession. That's the way I've always used it, Rob, Brother Rob. See? I'm sharing with the world that I'm following Jesus Christ. As my example, I'm being baptized. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But it's buried in his likeness. It's a typifying of death. Being raised to the newness of life. And I believe that's what this passage is studying, is looking at. I did a deep study on that, or deeper study this week than just my notes. But I want you to know that any other teaching on baptism is presenting baptism as works. And we're not saved according to Ephesians by works. We're not saved by works. So when they start talking about you have to do this, you have to do that, no, it's faith believing. It's not works. Quickly, I close. The third way here that I found to contact the precious blood of Christ, the how, to answer the how and the when, is through walking in newness of life. Walking in newness of life. Romans chapter 6 speaks here about baptism. And Paul here writes again to the Christians. He says in verse 4, chapter 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Walking in the presence of the Lord. Go back up to verse 4 with me, and here's the text. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised, as I said, for to newness of life, and then was resurrected, we know that, ascended, we know that, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 5, notice if you will, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We are a new creature, the Bible says. Behold, all things have passed away. All things have become new. I don't have time to develop that verse, but I want to tell you this morning that I believe the world is waiting to see it from us. They're waiting to see what we're talking about, this Jesus. They don't understand faith, but we have to show them from the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when they see it, I marvel at the fact that they will accept it. They will say yes. Proof of that. And I delight in those that have trusted Christ as their Savior, those that have wanted to grow, and they are growing by leaps and bounds in the Word of God. Thankful for Rock of Ages this morning, who has given me the Bibles and the liberty to deliver Bibles free to them. Underlined by this lady and two or three others, 500 verses, 450 in red pencil, 150 in green pencil. The red ones are salvation verses. The green ones are growth or encouragement verses, like 23rd Psalm. That would be a green underline. They receive those Bibles. They love them, my caseworkers tell me. And I just thank God that His Word is available. His Word is available. I'm thankful this morning, and I close with this, that because of the blood of Christ, I can do all of the aforementioned here and be what God asks of me to be 24/7. I have to wait, got to wait to Sunday to come to Village Chapel. I haven't got to report to somebody else and tell him all my problems of the week and pay big bucks. You know where I'm going with that one, don't you? It's called confession. He's always available. Never get a busy signal. I never got a busy signal with God. And I need him every day. Every day. We have devotions together at night before I go to bed early, but I have my own time with the Lord, and she has her time after I'm long gone. But I have my early time. I'm an early riser, and nothing is more precious to me than to spend time in His Word. Thank you for all my mistakes, folks, bearing with me. I just want you to know that I love this little church. I'm praying for it. Vicki and I both are. Praying for you as individuals. I know you have some heartaches just like we do probably. We did have a little bit of good news this week, and we always look for good news, and that is that our youngest grandson in Alaska, he and his wife gave birth to our little granddaughter, Gwen. I don't know what her middle name is. I guess they haven't told us that. It's a secret, I guess. But I've seen Gwen, and she's precious. She has an older brother. He's a year and a half. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. It's going to be interesting, isn't it? Little sister, big brother. Now, this guy, this older brother, he's been very active since he was born. I mean, I'm not sure if he was born in an airplane or he was in an airplane shortly after. But he'll have a pilot's license before he has an automobile license, I promise you. If Grandpa has anything to do with that, Scott. Some of you know my family. And we just thank God for each one of them. And I ask you to pray for the boys, all right? They are very busy. The two boys up there are very busy, as all of my boys are, my grandsons. They covered our prayers. We pray for them every night, that God will have His way in their lives, and that this business won't take over and interfere in any way in that. We love our family. love you folks. Thank you so much for putting up with me. And I'm going to be continue to pray concerning your decision with the other church, the merging. I merged with another Baptist church about 16 years before we moved over here. I joined forces with our church, with the Norway Baptist Church, who was without a pastor. And I served there until we moved over here in 2014. I'm not going to put any cold water on what you're trying to do, but I want to tell you something. There won't be too many people that will agree with what you're doing. Now, my God's bigger than what they thought. And it wasn't me that proved them wrong. But God put that word together, and we had 16 years in the Norway Baptist Church of wonderful ministry, Daily Vacation Bible School, with two churches now. And I think it didn't have, I didn't have anything to do with it, except that I prayed every day for weeks out in front of that church before I decided to go ahead and do it. Because honestly, some real men of God told me, don't do it. You'll never get two Baptist churches to agree. Now, I might be meddling a little bit here, but I just want to, I want to see God's work go on, whether here or there. I want to see him glorified. Thank you. Let's stand together. Should we sing that song, Brother Rob? You get it all, he gets it all picked out. He's way ahead of me. Way ahead of me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What?